What's up, listeners? On this week's pod, we're going to recap the weekend, including a wild college basketball game that I got to see live and in person. We'll review the NBA All-Star Weekend, including fixes to the Elam ending, as well as renaming the three-point contest Mountain Dew Zone. Next, we'll follow up with some good old-fashioned Would You Rathers, with the headliner of the segment being Cookies versus Chips. Lastly, we'll play around to Stumptown and vote another cookie off the island in Girl Scout Survivor. Unfortunately, you'll have to wait one more week to hear our Eastern Conference Jersey Tea picks. Let's do it.
Delta Stadium, 12 o'clock. Carol Collins Fighting Saints, Carol Collins Fighting Saints. Walkers on to Peosta, North Benton, South Benton.
Woo!
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Rookie Show. I am your host, Elvis Coyne. Joining me, as always, Travis Knoll. What up, Knoll?
What up, a coin? What up?
Oh, it's not too much. It's good to be back, man. Talking again. Back in the thick of the NBA season, I suppose. No more football. Still a little weird, but we're finding our groove. How was your weekend?
My weekend was top-notch. It was a fantastic weekend. I got to go travel over to East Lansing, Michigan to see my very own Maryland Terrapins beat the Michigan State Spartans in their house, and it was a wonderful weekend.
Ooh, I like that. This is going to sound like it's the lead into a bad joke. It is not. Is there just a Lansing, Michigan?
There is, indeed. Okay. In fact, the hotel we stayed in was in Lansing, and then we drove over to East Lansing to go to the game.
So it's a real Helena, East drive. Helena situation.
It is very much so, a Helena, East Helena situation, yes.
Sick. Are the people in East Lansing as cool as the people in East Helena?
No, not a chance.
Oh, hell yeah. Shouts East Helena. Bang, first one.
Oh, East Helena. They're getting to high school, right? What, the Vigilantes.
The Vidges?
I think.
The Lanties?
The Lanties? That's baller.
We're officially a Lanties. Or is it just Tees? Even better if it's just Tees.
I like Lanties. I think Lanties is better.
Then you get to yell, "Oh, my Lanta. Nice jerseys, Tees."
Nice jersey, Tees. I see what you did there.
Yeah, you like that? Anyways, back to the topic at hand. How was the Maryland-Michigan State game?
All right, so for those of you that didn't see the highlights of the game, it was on the ESPN, but Bobby Boucher, what up? Okay, one fun, interesting fact that you and I discussed. Maryland, number 9 ranked team in the country going in.
Right.
Against unranked Michigan State, yet Michigan State was favored by 6.5 points. And seems weird when we're used to betting on NFL and NBA and stuff, but college basketball, like, home court advantage is everything. And it actually makes sense. If you go look at, like, the Big Ten records, every team in the Big Ten is, like, 10-3 at home, and then, like, the best ones are, like Maryland is the number one team in the Big Ten. They were 4-4 on the road.
What,
like,
the fuck?
Every team's, like, 500 on the road and undefeated at home. And that's just the way college basketball is, apparently. And going to one of the marquee venues in college basketball really shows why that is, because those places get loud as hell. And, like, if I can imagine being on the court when Michigan State's going on their run, like, how intimidating that would be.
That is definitely one of the Michigan, there's, like, what, 6 teams that have been good since we were 7 years old, probably. It's, like, Michigan State, Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, maybe one more. There's got to be one more. Anyways,
team's pretty good. Louisville's pretty good.
Louisville's been pretty good. But, yeah, any of those, like the blue blood colleges, the ones that have been there around forever, UCLA, I guess, too, you could put up there. Any of those schools, to be at one of the live games when it's an actual ranked team playing your team is got to be unreal.
It was pretty wild, yeah. So to start it off, an interesting thing that the crowd does is when Maryland was listing off their starting lineups, after every announcement, the entire crowd would say, "Who cares? You suck." And then they'd go to the next player. I was like, what? That's not appropriate. So it'd be like starting a point guard, Anthony Cowan. Who cares? You suck. Like, okay.
It feels really like uncreative and childish. Yeah, I know. And they're all like still weirdly into it. I don't know.
They're all
really
reading like the fake newspapers too, like how they're all like pretending to not be.
Right.
So then the next thing that I became aware of is that we were up in kind of like some bleacher seats, and I have never been to a sporting event where there were fewer opposing team fans. Like, there's 15,000 people in the stadium, and I'm not exaggerating when I'm saying there were probably less than 100 Maryland fans. Like, it was literally, you could look around and you'd have to count them. And I could look around and count like 30, and there was probably another 30 behind the bench. I mean, it was none. So every time, like, when we'd go on our runs, Katie and I would cheer, and we were just getting like death stares, basically. It was so weird. It was bizarre. So,
that is bizarre.
New experience.
I tuned into part of the game just because I knew you were there and I was gonna hopefully try to see you. And you were pretty high up, so there wasn't really a time.
You
but
see us. Yeah.
After you told me that it was a crazy ratio of Michigan State to Maryland fans, and then I looked at the screen and I don't think I saw a single blurb of red for probably 2 minutes of straight game time. Like, I was like, I don't see anybody cheering for Maryland right now.
Yeah, and it's got to just be the fact, like, college sports in general probably don't travel as well as pro sports because
right.
you have wider spread fan bases. Like, NFL games, you always have 30% of opposing fans, no matter where you are, I think. 20-30%? What would you say?
Yeah, probably. Probably something like that.
Yeah.
That's fair. So. And then it's the kind of the same in the NBA is if you're, unless, I guess, opposite in the NBA, unless you're a marquee team. Like, if you're the Lakers playing some trash team, that's when you're going to get, like, the 80-20 split of fans or maybe even 90-10 or something like that. But for the most part, if you're at an NBA game or of just, like, a middling team, you're going to get pretty much, like, 40-60, 60-40 splits anywhere you go, no?
Yeah, because there are so many fans that just want a chance to see their team up close and in person. So, like, any, you know, if you live in Chicago... there's you know, Lakers fans here, there's Wizards fans. I mean, like, every city of fans, and whenever their team's in town, they want to come see them. So, yeah, it's definitely a different setting than pro games, for sure. So
I agree.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you, so this is kind of a passion point of mine, just because, so I started going to NFL games in the sixth grade. I went to the Falcons versus the Seahawks. And I was obviously cheering for the Falcons as a Falcons fan.
Of course.
Ever since then, I've always really loved being the fan of an away team. I think that for the most part, you get a better sense of the fans. You get a lot more ribbing and like back and forth. And people around you are more interested in kind of interacting with you if you're in the minority in your group. However, I would say the first time you're going somewhere, unless you're cheering for your own favorite team, it is more fun to be a fan of the home team.
Right.
And then every subsequent time after that, though, I would like to be... Like, I've gone to probably, I don't know, 20, 25 Seahawks games. That might be a little high. I don't know. But I've probably only cheered for the Seahawks three times, and I've only seen the Falcons actually there like three or four times. So I've just cheered for random teams every single time because I love cheering against Seahawks fans.
The only thing that I like more about being a road team is the interactions, like when you're walking around concessions and stuff like that, because every passing opposing fan, you like are required to make eye contact and either give a nod or like give you know, go whoever. It's an incredible interaction because if you're the home team, you expect everybody and you don't have to interact, but it's like, in that Michigan State Maryland game, and I'm walking around, if I spot anyone in red, it's like we're automatically locking eyes and being
like,
You guys are boys at that point. You guys are friends now. You're my guy.
That's part of it too. You're almost like more likely, especially if the other guy is drunk and you're drinking, maybe that guy is way more likely to buy you a beer if he sees an ally in this like hostile territory.
Bingo. Yes. But that said, that's the only thing I like better. I thought to myself, the only thing better than the game that we went to being a Maryland fan and seeing them win is if how loud that Michigan State crowd got, if that was to win the game and we were part of it and rooting for that team. That's just, there's also nothing like that, you know, outside of sports where there's just thousands of people that are all genuinely excited about one moment together. So I lean home, but I get the benefits of being a road fan as well.
Yeah. Well, I would say in my life in general too, I pretty much lean being an antagonist slash an instigator, and I really like to give people shit like that. And I think, so I mentioned going to that first NFL game when I was in the sixth grade. Mm-hmm. I very clearly remember after the game, so the Falcons lost that game. And then I was walking to our car afterwards, and this super drunk Seahawks fans looked at me. So, like, I'm in sixth grade. I'm probably, like, I don't know, 5'4", 5'5", 120 pounds. And this drunk guy looks across the street. He said, "Suck that loss, bitch." It's like, all right. I don't really know what to do with that.
I'm 12.
Yeah. It's like, I'm 12 years old. Okay. Cool. Drunk guy. And his friends, like, they all high-fived each other. And I was like, all right,
you
guys.
Got that little bitch.
I was like, I don't know if Seahawks fans are actually cool. I would say ever since then, though, they've actually been pretty good. So, I've been
trying to find
a
way to turn back on the Seahawks. We've somehow become like a pro Seahawks pod.
God damn it.
It blows my mind.
We'll flip
my my last comment on the Maryland Michigan State game is, I would like all of you who are filling out your brackets this year to be forewarned. I'm telling you right now, Michigan State has two players, Cassius Winston and their center dude, who I forgot his name. Those guys are ballers. Everyone else is scared. They were scared to play a home game. Like, nobody wanted the ball. It was like panic.
Oh, they were
get the ball
the
to
moment?
These other two guys. I promise you, they do not have a third guy. I would be wary to. I know everyone's gonna want to be like, oh, Michigan State. They were the number one team in the country, so they got all that talent. But then they dropped down to a sixth seed. They're gonna make a run as a sixth seed. I'm telling you, they are not. Michigan State is not going to make a run. I'm on the record saying that right now.
So are you thinking, would you pick them first round upset?
I think it depends on the matchup, but
if they were a five seed,
they've lost like 5 of 6. I mean, I think if the tournament started right now, they might be like a 6 or 7.
Okay. So say they go get a little hot and they end up as a five seed. Are they like a prime 12-5 upset team?
I lean more towards, I just think with Izzo and having two great guys, I don't take them out first round, but I wouldn't expect them as a Sweet 16 team. So I'm saying second round. So maybe it might not even be upset. It might be a 4-5 matchup or something, but I'm telling you, they're not going to make a deep run. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Maybe not a hot take. I don't know, but I'm saying they're always a hot team to pick when they're a high seed to make a run, because in that stadium, they have, since Izzo's been there, which I think in 99, they've been to like 7 Final Fours.
Yeah.
They have all these banners. Like, what? Granted, they only have one title.
I was going to say
in the year 2000, which is like a ridiculously low percentage.
Who was on that team?
Bummer. I don't know. No idea.
For some reason, Keith Appling has always stuck with me for Michigan State. And I almost, no, he was on the team like 6 years
ago. He was like 2010. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost asked you the other day, like as a joke, if Keith Appling was starting for Michigan State still, because I feel like he's just always been there for me.
He's one of those guys that was like, he's still playing here?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Him and not Valentine. I feel like I knew when Valentine left because he was big enough of a player in college basketball.
But he was a senior, I think. He had been there for a
while. He was there for a long time.
Kalen Lucas was another one. I feel like
I don't know
he was
who that
there
is.
For a while. Okay. Never mind. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, that was I like the college basketball talk. I'm gonna try to watch some more because of the tournament coming up. I've watched maybe 20 minutes of Louisville basketball this year, and I would say that they are a prime upset prospect. They're really good, and they will blow teams out. They have lost multiple times this year, and they get blown out in those games. For some reason, they just shit themselves when they go bad. It's bad, so they're a prime blow it up candidate.
That's good to know. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, I would be worried about that. All right, well, let's move on to some NBA action. All-Star weekend was pretty fun, actually. I ended up getting to watch most of the Saturday stuff, which was dunk contest, skills challenge, which was better than I thought, I guess, and the three-point contest, which was awesome. So
like you said, you had no interest in watching some of those things. The skills, you watched the skills contest?
It was on before the 3-point contest, which is why okay. I watched it. I was trying to kill some time. I was waiting for my mom to get here.
It was okay.
But I was reading an article today that was talking about what it used to be, and they used to have to do more. They had to like make a layup, make a dunk, 3-point shot, bounce pass. They had to do more, and it was definitely more interesting. The skills challenge is just like any normal person could win that. Like if you went out there and you could win that probably.
Well, I know I could. I don't know if you could.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
Did I tell you my stats from last night's
you haven't told me yet. I thought you played on Wednesdays.
Mondays.
Okay.
I shot 0% from the field.
Hell yeah.
0%. Didn't make a field goal.
Did you attempt?
I went a lot. Yeah. I went 9 for 10 from the stripe. No joke.
You shot free throws? What kind of league is this?
What do you mean? It's a legit league. What do you mean? You don't shoot free throws in your league?
There's refs. I'm not in a league. I'm only playing pickup basketball. I just realized.
I'm in a real league, bro.
Okay. How long are your games? You shot 10 free throws? That's a lot.
Yeah, it's an absurd amount.
Are you calling your own fouls, you fucking pussy?
No, there's refs.
Oh, my God. All right, fine.
I would much rather play a chancy ref ass game refs. Than a pickup game. No.
I just want to say for the record that I do not call fouls on myself when I'm
playing. Oh, I would never. No, I would never. Most of them were bogus, but I cashed the throws anyway.
Right. Go on. Sorry.
No, I don't have anything else. I made my first 9 free throws, and I think on the season before that, I was like 4 of 10 on the entire season. So
right. 9 free throws is pretty good. I don't think I could make 9. I definitely couldn't go 9 of 10. Like if you asked me to go 9 of 10, no.
I was 9 of 9, and then some guy's like, you could go 10 for 10 from the bench.
So like, why would you say that?
And then I shanked it.
You ruined your perfect game.
Yeah. Okay, so 3-point contest, is where it's at.
3-point contest was awesome. Not last second, I guess, but Buddy had to ball out on his final rack. I think he went 4 of 5 on his final rack to win the All-Star game, which you had bet on, or the 3-point contest, which you had bet on, yeah.
You know what's incredible is that, I don't know if I mentioned this on the pod, but I put money on Dame and I put money on Buddy, and then I put enough on each of them so that I would win $20 if either of them won. Then Dame backed out with injury and I was actually refunded the money, like Bovada, like since he didn't compete. So the only bet I had was on Buddy and he was 7 to 1. So nice little $20 payday on that. And it was baller, man. I put 27 points in each round. That was sick.
Buddy's got a fun shot. I like he's got that very the flick hand release, which I really enjoy watching for somebody. Mm-hmm. It's very camera friendly, I would say.
I could see that. Yeah, what do you think the best strategy for placement of your money ball rack is?
I don't think that I have the right to, like, if I was
in the NBA, so let's say obviously there are guys that are better at certain shots, but is it better to do it at the beginning? Like, I almost think it does seem like guys end up making all their last rack, but my gut tells me that, like, you're tired at the end and you're going to miss those last ones. But my eyes don't tell me what my brain is telling me. So what do you think?
Those guys are also in shape to be shooting a shit ton of shots.
I know. They do that all the time, probably. Right. Like, they exactly. get up.
I guess for them, yes, that makes sense. Just a qualifier is that I suck at corner shots, so I wouldn't do them. Yep. I would put my money rack on the left pro. That's just where I'm better from.
The left pro? I don't know.
Wait, maybe right? Like right wing. Like right wing. We just called it the pro spots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just called the wing spots. In high school, we called the wing spots the pro spots.
Oh, at Big Timber? At Sweetgrass High?
In Sweetgrass County High School, home of the sheep herders, Rolders.
Rolders.
I would probably put them on the pros, but I get... For the NBA, if you're in the NBA, you should be really, really good at corner shots. Like, if it That's was all true, corner shots, PJ shorter. Tucker would win every single year, probably.
Yeah. It's the easiest shot for an NBA, but it's shorter, right? It's like 22 feet or something like that.
Is it 2 feet closer? Is that what it is? Or not 2 feet? Like a foot and a half closer.
Something like that, yeah. I would definitely put it at the top of the key, but
that's... Really? Oh, I hate the top of the key shot.
Yeah.
What do you think? I've never shot off of a rack like that. Do you think it actually makes a difference? Kind of has to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it's harder. I think it's just an awkward motion. You never, like, are grabbing, like, sort of behind you. I think if you were given passes to dudes, like, I bet Steph Curry could make every single one if you had a dude passing it to him. Or
Clay.
Even if he's off the
Clay
dribble
would,
or something.
Clay
or
would just Clay. Clay wouldn't miss a shot. Yeah.
I think Steph is better off the dribble, but Clay off the pass, yeah, if you just had a dude passing to him, he could literally go just hit every single
one. Why don't they make that part of it? They should. No? Make it like You have to do like
Maybe
three of them.
Why.
Three of them should be pull-ups, and then you have to go down. Like, what if it was like you made it the skills challenge, but in three-point fashion? So they're like running down, dribbling down, then they have to pull up, then they run to the corner, and then they get like three shots from the corner or something like that.
I think the three-point contest is like one of the only things that doesn't need fixing.
Okay,
so I don't think we need to mess with
I get that.
It. Now,
yeah.
That said, what did you think of the Mountain Dew Zone deep shot?
Mountain Dew Zone deep shot is fantastic, and there should be more shots from there. I enjoy myself.
I'm in on the Mountain Dew shot. You think there should be more? Like, how many more?
Maybe two from each. I don't know. Well, why not just add, like, a half-court shot or, like, an even deeper one in the middle? Like, those two are at 28 feet. Why not do, like, a 32-footer, like, right in the middle?
Okay, it should absolutely be do the exact same way they did it, but then the very last shot, you get an even deeper one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you should end on it just to add the excitement.
What if you end on it and then you just get to go until you miss from like 29 or 30 feet or something like that? Yeah,
that'd be unfair, but cool.
I would bet on Dame every single year, or Steph even.
Well, who hit the shots this year?
Devin Booker was the only one to hit both of them. I think that. Like, three other guys or four other guys hit one of them, but Devin Booker hit both. So, that means we get to rename the zone.
Okay, it is no longer called the Mountain Dew Zone.
No longer called the Mountain Dew Zone. How many? So, you think you have a definitive one, yes?
I do. I have three, and I'll give you my third best, my second best, and then the winner.
Okay, I have, like, I have, like, seven written down.
All right. Well, I am 100% positive that mine's the winner, so... Why don't you give yours, and then I'll give mine.
Okay, I'll save my best one for last. Mm-hmm. I text this to you. The Booker Belt.
Booker Belt, okay.
It's okay. Booker Boulevard.
Okay.
Not bad. Devin Drive is kind of a throwaway. Devin Armani Booker is his full name. So I was going to go Dabland.
Dab, okay.
Sunspots is what you can
call
it.
I have sunspots.
Oh,
yeah,
sunspots?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's my number two.
Okay. All right. And then this is a real throwaway. I have one more, but I'm going to save it for a minute. Something with DB Cooper, Devin Booker, you know, DB Cooper, like something like Lost in the Flight. I don't know. There's something there.
There's something there.
I have a lot of half-baked jokes / ideas in my notes just tucked away that'll come out. They'll all come out one day.
I hear you. Okay. My third best one is along those same lines, which is just the Devin Dot, but that's pretty weak.
Dippin' Dots. Ooh, the Devin Dots was sponsored by Dippin' Dots. Does Dippin' Dots have that much money?
The Devin Dots. Dippin' Dots is... Gotta be going strong, right? I remember when they first had those at the Big Sky water slides. I love those things.
Oh, delicious. Delicious. All right, what's your two? Oh, your two is Sunspot?
Yeah, my two is Sunspot.
So I have one more. Do you want me to say it first, or that'd be wild if we had the same one?
Okay, if we have the same one, then I'll be jacked. So yeah, you can go first.
Okay. So we call it, the deep shot, we call it From the Library, because you got to check out book.
Oh, it's on along the same lines of mine.
Oh, let's hear it.
But the correct answer and what we will be calling it next year is the bookmark.
Oh, fuck! Fuck! Oh. How did I not think of that? I'm so mad.
Yeah. The bookmark.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You nailed it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I was hoping we would both come up with it, but
I think we should just berate the NBA Twitter account from the Rookie Show account for the next year until they change it to the bookmark, and they have to credit our pod.
They have to the bookmark from at Rookie Show Pod.
From it says you know, like ESPN always has to do like HT. What does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know.
It always says like HT Beal Simmons podcast or something.
Right.
Anyways, that's what they'll have to do for us. Yeah.
So congratulations, Devin, on the Mountain Dew Zone, now known as the Bookmark. The
Bookmark. That's fantastic. Good job, Noel.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So there is a couple more things of the All-Star Weekend. Before we get to the actual game, I wanted to talk about the dunk contest really quick. Did you watch, and do you have thoughts?
I did watch, and I don't have as many thoughts on like who should have won and all that jazz. My thoughts was I was like uncomfortable the whole time, and I hated it. Like I watched ESPN hungover? The next day. No, like I hated the fact that it was this awkward, they're giving 50s, and Aaron Gordon's trying to tell them that it's over and he doesn't want to dunk again. And, like, I didn't enjoy it at all because I didn't like the emotions that I was feeling from that room of, like, the judges are awkward, right. The two guys are awkward. And, like, the next day I watched, like, PTI and all that, and they're like, oh, that was one of the best dunk contests in terms of, like, the quality of the dunks and this and that. And, oh, they say Aaron Gordon got robbed and stuff. Like, I didn't enjoy it. Like, honestly, after the, you know, the second dunk of each of them and it was tied for the next, you know, 20 minutes, I was out on the dunk contest. And so I agree there needs to be some type of change because they can't let that happen again. I hated it.
No, it's the same exact thing that happened to Aaron Gordon against Zach LaVine four years ago.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Yeah. It's you give 50s for everything and then a really cool dunk happens that actually should be a 50 and then it's just diminished because you gave another guy who just jumped over a random person a 50. I'm completely out on just jumping over somebody to dunk. I'm out on it. Stupid.
And you also have to dunk over them. Like, he didn't even dunk over the dude. He put his nuts on Taco Fall's head.
Yeah, I agree. It was cool. You jumped over a guy that was slightly taller than the other guy the other one jumped over. Who cares? You didn't even do anything cool.
Yeah, and everyone that trying to say that like the best dunk was the like twirling one off the side of the backboard. That was the best one.
Yes. It
was the one over Taco Fall was dumb.
Stupid. He kept trying to then that was the one that he was like it's over after that one, right?
Yeah.
That was the worst dunk of the entire thing.
Yeah, stupid.
I would say that so I don't think I watched it live. I watched all the highlights. I watched all the dunks today. Derrick Jones Jr. did just do a variation of one dunk the entire time.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to say be penalized for it, but not rewarded sort of, by any means, right?
Yeah. His were so smooth and like he's so good at that between the legs, but it's like, all right.
He is really good at it. I mean, this is coming from two people who can never, have never, and will never be able to dunk. So yeah. It was cool, but I would say I personally do think that Gordon got robbed again, and he should have two tied. I mean, he should have won the one versus LaVine. He has two of maybe the best dunks ever in the dunk contest. The one they do look very similar. The one this year off the backboard where he spun and like somehow he jabs the ball in front of him, like just straight palm it, like right in front of him, then windmill around like while spinning, and then he did the same thing with the mascot on the hoverboard, but
yes,
those dunks were the coolest things I've ever seen. Also, the underlegs dump jump.
Yes,
dunk. Yeah,
underlegs dump was cool too.
Underlegs dump.
Yeah, I agree.
What do they need to like revitalize the scoring system? What's the fix here? What do we got?
I guess you just go like decimals, and like people are probably more inclined to give someone like a 4.9, then like it's giving someone a 4 out of 5 feels bad, or it's out of 10, sorry, giving them a 9 out of 10 feels bad, but a 9.9 feels like really, really good,
right?
So I feel like that maybe solves it, and then guys don't give 10s, you get a lot of 49.7s and stuff, and then you get a winner. That's my best thought.
That feels like what they've done like in the X Games and stuff. Is that how they've solved it is they've done the decimal points. It seems people are more inclined to give a 9.8, 9.9.
Yeah.
Because it does. A 9.9 doesn't feel as good. Right. All right. Well, that's fair, I guess. I don't know. I do think that Gordon got robbed. Any Hoosiers. The most interesting part, the most interesting wrinkle of the entire weekend, though, was the Elam ending, which I found out earlier today was not about Jason Elam, the kicker. I'm just kidding.
It's not?
I know.
It meant win by three, like a field goal. Isn't
yeah,
that what
like,
it means?
Like Jason Elam for the Broncos, 63 yards. Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what it is. No, that's not what it is. What did you,
I had never
what did you
heard
think
it
of the ending?
That. Apparently, people who are fans of the basketball tournament knew that that it was called that. But yeah, exactly. I agree with everyone and their mother who said that it was awesome. Like, those dudes were playing so hard in the fourth quarter. Let's rewind, though. The first wrinkle was each quarter was its own score to win for a charity. They had the two different charities, like, have huge crowds of people from that charity there.
That was
cheering
cool.
it on.
That was really cool.
It adds, like, legitimate excitement. And, like, you could see, like, Giannis was trying super hard in the second quarter to win that quarter. The third quarter, they're, like, calling timeouts and, you know, doing strategy to try to win the quarter and stuff. I thought that part was good. I have no issues with that. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was that's what they should always do. If the All-Star Weekend is about celebrating players and fans, they should always make it about putting the people who don't normally get to experience that up front.
I have one tweak that I'd like to add.
Okay,
so the third quarter was a tie.
Right.
And they decided to roll over that $100,000 to the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The right way to do it is split it.
Split. Yeah.
Just give them $50,000 each.
Yeah.
Or maybe give them each $100,000 for all I care. However, that ain't what I'm about. I have a better wrinkle for you.
Oh.
Here's the solution. Each charity picks a kid from their charity.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's so much stress on one kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that. The two kids.
Yes.
Come to center court. They started out with a rock, paper, scissors. All right.
Yeah.
So the winner of the rock, paper, scissors gets his choice. He can shoot a free throw and then the other person will get a rebuttal free throw. So if he makes, the other people miss, then his charity gets the money. His other option, and then they just do that, go back and forth until, you know, the second guy always gets a rebuttal until someone makes and the other person misses. That's the game. Or if you win rock, paper, scissors, you can shoot a three-pointer, and if you make it, no rebuttal, game over.
Right.
But if you miss it, they get a free throw for the win. I don't think anyone would ever choose the three. But
No.
What do you mean?
I would never choose the three-pointer.
But it'd be baller if they did.
I would choose the three-pointer.
All right, we can tweak the rules a little bit, but that's the gist.
Oh my God. Obviously for the TV purposes and because this money affects my life in no way at all, of course I want to see that.
And I'm stroking the tray ball.
If they will immediately show me a video of a kid crying afterwards, of course I'm going to vote for this if I get a vote.
Okay. Go on. What else we got on this? That's my first fix. And then
that's
I have
your first
fixes
fix?
For the Elam ending too. So
okay. So after the tie, I would say that you're the NBA. One, you're the NBA, just pay both charities the money at
yeah.
the end of the third
well,
quarter.
I saw on Twitter there were like I think Giannis actually posted on Twitter yesterday and said like he's gonna give that money to that charity.
Which is how it should be. If it gives your players the opportunity to do that, yeah. That's cool.
Good on him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. So.
Speaking of Giannis, that dude was a problem in that game. Like,
a problem.
I know they never gave him the ball in the fourth quarter, but like when he's just going full bore, what the hell? He is like, I know calling him a freak is overused at this point, but that dude is a freak. He's unstoppable. It's unreal.
Yeah, he's really good at traveling. Like one of the best travelers I've ever seen, I would say. Did you hear Simmons talking about how he thought Giannis was scared in the fourth quarter and that he actually doesn't have enough moves to do it against other people? I was like, wow, this is spin zone.
That was a hot take. Anything? It's funny how much people are now pulling from this All-Star game because dudes were going hard. There's something to be said about it. The best guys in the world, like that actually caring about the game, but come on, let's keep it a little real.
My big thing, he was like talking, he's like, yeah, I just didn't know if he had it right there. I was like, or hear me out, that there were 10 of the best players on the planet on the court, and Giannis was like, you know what, maybe I don't need to hurt myself right now.
And all the other dudes on his team think that they're the best player, and they want to take the shot. Like,
right.
their team screwed up by not giving him the ball, and he's not going to go, like, bitch to these other best players in the world about a damn All-Star game not getting the ball. So
that's the thing that gets lost. That's the thing that gets lost. For anybody in the world to be one of the 20 to 25 best basketball players in the world, that person has to think that they are the best player in the world.
Yeah.
They have to be fully convinced in your mind that you are the best player in the world.
There were two guys that I'm pretty sure didn't think they were the best player in the world that were in there for crunch time.
Chris
Kemba Walker did not think he's the best player in the world. He was horrible. And then Chris Paul, though, if you ask me, I give Chris Paul MVP.
Chris Paul's oop was fucking awesome.
It was awesome, and he balled out. He was good. I think he had 20 points. And
I didn't get to watch the game.
He was good. I would have given him the MVP because I thought he sparked more runs and he was more crucial to like their comeback and stuff. Kawhi was just lights out from three, but that's kind of all he did. Granted, that's enough.
Starting 7 for 7, he went null for null from three while you went from free throws. He was trying to match you. Or I guess you were trying to match him.
Yeah. Chris Paul, I'm glad he was out there because he balled out. I would have given him an MVP.
This Chris Paul resurgence with him on the Thunder is going to be awesome as we look back on his career, about how he didn't just completely quit on this team and he's actually trying for the Thunder. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
So let's get to it then. What did you think of the Elam ending? Like, what was your final thoughts? Did it work? Does it need some tweaking? What do you think?
It's great. The best part about it was the fact that you have things happening like LeBron pulling up from 30 feet for the game winner. Did you see that?
And I saw the video on Twitter, but that would have broken the internet if that would have happened. Do you want to give a quick rundown of the Elam ending, or do we need to explain it?
Oh, yeah, I can do that. So essentially, I assume most of our listeners kind of have heard of it, but if not, essentially, you set a target score. So at the end of the third quarter, the winning team had 133 points. So the Elam ending, in this case, they added 24 points to that. So they made the target score to be 157. And whichever team made it to 157 first won. There's no clock, nothing involved. So it's just a race to 157. So it's just like any game of pickup basketball that you play to 21, where you now know when you get to 19 that it's game point, and if you shoot a two, you can win it. So it always creates these situations when if you're 3 points away, every dude on the court wants to be the hero and hit the three for the win, which creates a situation where LeBron pulls up from 30 feet. And like, that is awesome. The greatest part about it. I don't care that he missed.
He back ironed really hard, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, it was not that close. I mean, it was relatively close. But for an NBA player, no. So the fact that that's probably going to happen in every All-Star game now is some dude's going to pull up from 30 to try to be the hero every time.
Somebody's gonna, like, if LeBron hit that, that would have been the opening video to SportsCenter for, what, 3 weeks? 4 weeks, maybe?
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so that's just was the fun part about it. The issue that most people had with it was that the game ended on a free throw. Because Anthony Davis got fouled. I'm not totally opposed to that. Like, I get that it's kind of anticlimactic, but you can tell, like, there was some pressure on him, and he missed the first one and still made it. But I do have some suggestions on how I would change that.
Okay.
Firstly, I don't think we need to make it a win by two or win by three or whatever it is. Everyone says that's usually how you do it in pickup basketball. I'm out on that, just to start.
It's not how we do it at my gym, just so everybody knows.
Okay, good. Well, your gym sets precedent for the NBA All-Star game.
Bingo.
So, everyone on social media and after the game says, you know, I really like that Elam ending, but it shouldn't end on a free throw. Yet nobody offered a solution to how that works or, like, whatever you do. So the one that I thought of in my head, and then I went online and found out that I'm one of millions that had the same exact idea.
I was going to say, I think you're about to
suggest. Here's the first idea, which is a made free throw when you are within 1 point of the target score is subtracted a point from the opponent's team.
Right.
So I'm okay with that. What do you think of that?
It's good. I honestly was into it until like literally 20 seconds ago. I was pondering some thoughts, and then I guess you could just foul forever and then you would just be trying to chip away threes versus negative points the entire time, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, and so then my next tweak, I agree with that. That's exactly what I thought. And so the whole thing you're trying to prevent is that the opposing team can just foul,
right?
And it's no big deal. So the next tweak I thought of is the team that gets fouled within one of the target score gets a free throw that subtracts from the other team's thing, like we said, only one free throw, and they get possession.
Ball back. Right.
Yeah. So, because a lot of people say we should just do pickup rules where you get fouled, you just check it up top. But that sucks. That's even worse. Then you're just fouling all day.
They'd just be hacking down low all day and then restarting on top. That's why we're lame.
So, that's probably the best option. Here's the last idea, which I found on Twitter. I did not come up with this. You ever played the game 21?
Oh, sure have.
When you play the game of 21 and you get to 19 and you're shooting free throws, what do?
You shoot as hard as you can so that the other team can't oop you.
And why do you do that?
Because I'm not going to make the free throw.
What happens if you make the free throw?
You can't make the free throw. Oh, yeah, you can't win on a free throw, right?
You can. So here's how you play 21. If you get to 20 points,
right,
and you miss the free throw when you're at 20, you go back down to 15.
Oh, Jesus.
So what if the team that's within one of the target score, if they get fouled, they can have the option of shooting a free throw.
Or inbounding.
To win, but if they miss the free throw, they lose 5 points.
Yeah, but I mean, wait, who shoots the free throw?
The guy that gets fouled.
Okay.
No, you're out on that?
Nah.
21 rules?
Okay. I think that they would shoot the free throw every time. I mean, most of these guys are 80% free throw shooters.
Anthony Davis is an 80% free throw shooter. He missed.
Who?
He had one chance and he missed. Anthony Davis.
Good point.
He missed the first one.
Good point.
One free throw and it drops you 5 or... Or let's say you maintain possession either way.
You know what breaks my heart? Mostly I just don't want this to happen because I know LeBron would get fouled. And I'd be like, I don't want LeBron to shoot this free throw at all.
I know. And he'd have to take it.
Like, yeah, he has to take it or else you look like a huge bitch.
The only guy that wouldn't would be like if he had, you know,
Dwight or something.
Center out there. Yeah,
exactly.
So. Okay. Well, then we agree. So the best option is if you're within one of the target score, you shoot one free throw, and if you make it, the other team loses a point, and you get the ball.
Bingo.
So you still got to win on a field goal.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool. Well, I don't have any rebuttal thoughts. I agree with you there, and I really liked the Elam ending. I think that I was surprised at how competitive it made the game, I guess. Yeah. I probably came back into it like 7 minutes left. There was 144 to like 141 or something like that. Mm. And I was shocked at how everybody was like down in their defensive stances actually and playing really good defense, and it was really cool to watch.
Yeah.
Did you notice during the game that Harden and Giannis were getting really chippy? I didn't realize this was a thing.
I didn't really, like, not in particular, but I saw that Giannis made some comments after the game.
Giannis made comments before they drafted about how he would never draft Harden because he wanted somebody who would pass the ball. He made comments after the game. And then today, before we recorded, I was on Twitter and they were showing videos of Giannis going up for a rebound. Ball gets stripped away and he looks and just elbow checks Harden right in the throat.
Really?
Like, very blatantly, he was going for Harden.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
This is a thing now. And I think it's beef because Harden was talking shit all of last year about the MVP race.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That makes sense.
Are you in on this? I mean, I'm in on player beef in general. I like it when they have it. I don't know if I want Giannis to make a villain heel turn though.
Yeah, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to be the villain in any way. He can take the high road at this point because everyone loves him and he does nothing wrong. So, but I'm okay with it. Yeah, nothing wrong with some player beef.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on it. I just don't want him to take this weird Steph Curry turn, you know, when Steph had this weird villain turn. I guess it's impossible if you're not on a really hateable team. Like, the Bucks aren't a hateable team.
If they won a couple of titles, then people would start to hate him, and then we could talk, but no. He's just got that big smile. He's a baby face. And
he does have the baby
face. Hard to hate him, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, well, we'll swing back around to that. I think that there's some other player beefs we can get to at some point during the NBA season. But there's some other Twitter debates going on that I would really like to talk about. More importantly, ooh. So.
Okay,
so let's do this. So this, I know, is something that you're extremely, extremely passionate about.
Grievous Vasquez?
So this is the Grievous Vasquez hour. Welcome, everybody. No. There was somebody posed on Twitter the other day, cookies versus chips. So you have to get rid of one for the rest of your life. What do you think? Is it easy? I think it's easy. Do you think it's easy?
All right. This is a huge question for me.
Hold on.
Wait. As you know.
Hold on. Oh. Do you have to cough? thank you.
Go on. That was just a cough. I'm a big cookie guy, in particular a big chocolate chip cookie guy.
Right.
It's one of my favorite things in the entire world. Give me a handful of freshly baked choc chip cookies with a nice cold glass of milk. Not a lot better in this world. Now, that said, chips are a big part of my life as well. Potato chips, tortilla chips. As we mentioned on the Super Bowl food pod, I'm very big into dips, and it's difficult to do all the dips without chips. Would you agree?
It's hard to do dips without chips. You need the dips.
You need the chips.
You need the chips. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you need the dips to do dips as well. Oh, so I have a lot of questions before I answer this, and I need you to answer them for me.
Gotcha.
Where do we draw the line at cookies? Can I have brownies?
Yes.
I can have brownies. So therefore, can I have blondies?
Are blondies those brownies with like the cookie bits on top?
They're like essentially brownies that are like
cookies. Are you talking about cookie-shaped or brownie-shaped cookies?
Well, it's like you make a pan of them and cut them into squares, but it's like chocolate chips.
I'm drawing the line there. You cannot have blondies.
All right. Well, you know that I think that's some horse shit because
I know you do. Yeah.
But I agree with the rule. Well,
you know how it goes here. We make rules and we stick to them and never deviate from the rules.
All right. So I can have brownies, no blondies. That was gonna be my loophole to make me definitely say cookies. So all right, a couple more questions. Can I have cookie dough?
Yes.
Oh, I can have raw cookie dough.
Yeah. Okay. And you can have dough ice cream.
That was my next question. Kay. What about fortune cookies? This won't factor into what I decide. I'm just curious.
I'm going to say no, you can't.
Can I crack them open and read the fortune and let someone else
yes. eat? Yes, you may. Yes,
so
you
I can
may.
Still have fortunes, but no cookies.
Okay. Wait, okay. So actually, I was going to actually ask you this. In these scenarios.
Yeah.
Do cookies just not exist anymore?
No, I think it has to be like people are eating them around you and you can't have any, which is way worse. Which is way worse, right?
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, definitely.
If they disappeared from the world, it might change my answer.
That's a good point.
Okay, I'm assuming that like I'm over at someone's house and they bake a fresh batch of cookies and everyone's enjoying them and I'm just sitting there pissed eating my brownies and reading
How
my
pissed
fortune.
Would you be?
How pissed would I be?
Like, what if you went somewhere that was cookies, and then you're like, well, I'm going to bring brownies, and then somebody was like, you cannot bring brownies, I hate them. And then you were just left dessertless for the entire time. And everybody else was eating cookies.
I'm going to imagine the cookies have nuts in them, so it doesn't bother me.
They don't have nuts in them.
They do. Okay, next I want to ask where we draw the line with chips, okay? So, obviously, this is covering all potato chips, all tortilla chips. Cheetos, Funyuns, things of that nature, correct?
Yes, yeah, of the niche.
What about pita chips?
Yeah, pita chips fall in.
Can't have pita chips.
That what affects about, my decision in no way.
Me neither. I just want to clarify for the listeners. What about fruit chips, such as like apple chips and banana chips?
You can keep those. If you disregard chips, you can still have fruit chips.
If I pay extra, can you ban me from eating those?
If you choose cookies, I will also let you ban fruit chips.
Okay, good. What about veggie straws?
Veggie straws are okay.
Okay, I'll eat those. What about
Will chocolate? You eat those over any other chip? Like, if there's other chips on the table, will you be like, veggie straws?
But right now? With my current... No.
Yeah. No.
What?
God, no.
What about chocolate chips?
Stop. That's just chocolate. What? That does not count.
Hey, it's got chips in the name. What about fish and chips, i.e. French fries?
No, French fries are good.
You can have French fries?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good question, though. Like, at what thickness of chip do we start being like, whoa, hold on, these are now entering, potato like, wedges. JoJo potato wedge area.
Mm. Well, like baked chips potato. Are definitely crispy. And
right. JoJo, yeah, it's got to be of a certain texture.
What about, like, the rye chips and Gardettos? Can I have those?
No, those are gone. From a bag of Gardettos. Yeah, from a bag of Gardettos, those are gone.
So you can eat the pretzels and things, you can't have the rye chips.
Right.
Popcorn.
You can
still
have the little stringy, like the whitish long one, though. The one that looks like an eclair without chocolate.
Yeah. Okay. I would imagine so. That's not a chip.
No. Yeah. You're good.
I can have like mustard pretzels still.
Yes.
Corn nuts.
Yes. I like corn nuts. None of this is that's a whole other debate because I like corn nuts a lot.
All right. As soon as you told me I couldn't have blondies, I think that made my decision. I am unfortunately going to wait. No, I didn't make my decision.
Do you have some more questions?
I'm keeping cookies.
Whoa, really? Over chips?
Deuces chips. See you later. I know I'm in the vast minority here. If you would have let me have blondies, I would have definitely gotten chips because I could have worked around that. I could have become a blondie chef. I've never made them, but I imagine.
So
you're just
accepting that you're never going to be able to eat Parmesan artichoke dip or whatever ever again?
No, that's with bread, bro. You eat that with bread, bro.
With bread, bro? What about French onion dip?
That's going to be tough.
Salsa? Be tough.
You can have salsa on other things.
Like what?
Like a flour tortilla?
What? Just that? Okay,
no,
you can do
with
that.
With meat and stuff. Okay, what's your choice?
Chips. I think it's pretty unquestionable. There's like a billion other desserts. I'm fine. I'm fine on no cookies. I'll live.
I'm kind of just trying to
I understand that you're trying to be a contrarian because this is probably an easy
chips.
Choice
like
for me. It wasn't even close.
Wait, I didn't ask the biggest question. How many guns do I have to my head at this point?
Oh, sorry. There are 400 guns to your head right now.
Oh, I take chips, chips, chips.
Chips, chips, chips.
Chips, 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 chips.
Okay. So, from that stemmed a second, I guess, would you rather scenario. Is that what it is, basically?
Yeah, I guess so. It's a would you rather. Maybe we need a name for it, yeah.
Yeah. What did I say? The one or the other? Is that what I called it?
Sure,
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right, one or the other. Ketchup versus mayo.
This is one, as you may imagine, I'm also very passionate about. I get the sense that more people would be willing to give up mayo than ketchup.
I agree.
But I think those guys are idiots because mayo is amazing.
Wrong.
Oh.
They would be wrong.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good,
yeah,
okay,
I'm
okay.
Agreeing with you.
We've already discussed my love for mayo and BLTs. The only reason I would even consider keeping ketchup is for fries. That's like ketchup on fries. Even people that say that ranch is better on fries, they're wrong. Ketchup and fries is the best dip. Unless you're going fry sauce, which includes ketchup. I'm okay with that.
Is that mixed together? Wait, was fry sauce?
It's ketchup and mayo. It's the two.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
fancy
the
sauce.
Two mixed together. Fancy sauce, yeah. Bingo. But that's the only reason. I don't need it on my burgers. Big Macs don't have ketchup. I don't need it on my hot dogs. Chicagoans don't put ketchup on your hot dogs.
Chicagoans.
So, and by the way, I'm assuming this eliminates all mayonnaise-based sauces, right?
Like
ranch?
No, it absolutely does not. It does
it
not eliminate
like any,
ranch.
Any type
no,
of
no,
aioli,
no, 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 no,
any
no.
type of, no? So
aiolis and
has,
ranch still exist?
You realize that ranch is
I understand
just
that
seasoning.
They're there. I
So if
I,
I just
that.
Mix in some seasoning, I can still have it.
Listen, guy, I make the rules here, and this is
okay,
what I've decided.
Okay, so that makes it actually at least a debate of
okay.
Literally what you would normally have plain mayo on, you can't have. But some you could have, like, I guess you can have flavored mayo, apparently.
Yeah. Fine, if you want to do away with it, do you think
so
that makes
have,
it harder? Do you think that makes it harder for you? Like, wait, for no, instance, it makes it easier for you, right?
Some sushi rolls have, like, spicy mayo.
Right. They're delicious.
Can I have spicy... If I give up mayo, can I have
spicy? You cannot have spicy mayo.
Okay, but I can have ranch.
Yes.
Where do you draw the line?
The lines are... If it has mayo... It's a fugazi. It's a fugazi. It's fairy dust. That's all right, it
is. I'm keeping mayo. I don't give a shit.
Okay. I totally agree with you. Honestly, I have written down... If both were gone tomorrow, I don't think that my life would be affected in any way. I'd be fine. But I care much, much less about ketchup than I do mayo. And mayo actually flavors the things I want to eat, whereas I actively will, like, if I have a plate of fries, I don't even really think about wanting ketchup. I usually will just eat them plain or with ranch.
Wow. I didn't realize that my co-host was a psychopath.
Yeah, I'm a serial killer.
Plain French fries.
I like plain fries. Oh. Yeah. And then especially on hot dogs, don't come at me with your ketchup on hot dog. I only want starred.
You don't want chip?
You sound ridiculous right now. No, I only want starred and I want some relish. I want some relish and I want some nyans.
This is not a BLTA scenario for me.
No,
I'm saying I'm going the other way. I will actively put ketchup on my burgers and hot dogs, but
burgers, yeah.
But if I didn't have it, it's fine.
Not on your hot dogs too. So what about Polish dogs? Does it make a difference if it's Polish hot dog? Whatever.
If you get a Chicago style hot dog in Chicago, you will literally be ridiculed if you get ketchup on it.
Rightfully so, yes.
Yeah. So, no, I don't in Chicago. But okay. If it's like at a barbecue and the options are ketchup, mustard, onions, and relish, I'm going to get ketchup. Yes, I'm putting ketchup on.
Okay. So, stemming from these two, so I also went mayo just with you.
Okay.
I have a few very specific for you, Noel.
Good.
So starting out, I have two food ones I would like to get out of the way. I don't think they're very hard either. Bacon or sausage.
Well.
Well, you're losing BLTs, just so you know.
This takes a little, just give me like 10 seconds to think, because we've already discussed our breakfast meat philosophies.
Right.
I don't need sausage. You throw sausage away.
Really?
I don't need sausage. Yeah.
Like sausage,
and really, sandwich. I only need bacon for BLTs. That's like the only
reason. So you don't really care about breakfast meats at all.
I'm losing sausage McGriddles. That's about it.
Sausage McGriddles are good.
I know. Sausage, egg, and cheese. Let's be clear.
SEC, not of course. If you leave the chi off, I'm going to be upset.
You're on fire with your abbreviations and...
Listen, everybody. Let it never be said that anybody else can abbreviate as well as I can. I am the best in the world. All right.
Give me cun. Bay cun.
Okay, fair. I'll take Saj all day.
Next, this is for you, food. Preston. You like these abbreviations.
Next one is English muffin versus bagel.
Ooh. Every time I have an English muffin, I shit you not, I go, English muffins are awesome. They're so delicious. I wish I had these every day. That said, I ain't giving up bagels. I've gone probably 3-year stretches in my life without having an English muffin. And then, like, I have one. I'm like, I wish I had been eating them for the past 3 years, but I don't need them. You know, it unfortunately ruins my Eggs Benny.
I was just about to say, that was going to be my one thing that I was like, all right, I'm going to make him pause because he knows he has to give up Eggs Benedict here.
You know that Eggs Benny is on that short list with BLTs and choc chip cookies of, you know, my shit. Basically,
of the things.
But I like. Also, every time I have a bagel, I go, "Bagels are good. I love bagels." So
I couldn't. This is gonna come as a surprise to most. I could not agree more. I love English muffins. When I have them, they're delicious, and I'm like, "Wow! Even just a buttered English muffin is delicious."
Oh, it's fire!
Yeah, fire indeed. But every time I have a bagel, each subsequent bagel, I'm like, this was a great bagel. I don't know if I've ever had a bad bagel. I'm like, yeah, I really enjoyed myself today.
We got a couple of packs from Costco bagels. For some reason,
Costco bagels. I was gonna say
they kind of disappointed me actually. But I have high bagel standards.
If you write to Costco, they would probably send you new bagels for free.
You're probably right. I actually like Starbucks bagels. Pretty solid bagels at Starbucks.
Are they? I don't think I've had any.
Haven't had a bagel from Starbucks. They don't toast them enough, but other than that.
You know who has really good bagels? Safeway. They have really good cheddar and jalapeno cheddar bagels, and also good donuts. And the donuts, most people don't know this, are complimentary if you shop in the morning. You just go in and eat it while you're shopping, and you don't have to pay for it at the end. It's complimentary.
That sounds like the chicken at Walmart.
Yeah, this is definitely stolen from avid listener, Nate Heinrichs, the free rotisserie chickens at Walmart. You just, they give it to you when you walk in, and then you
It's not rotisserie. It's like the, it's like almost the
strips, bag chicken,
the boneless.
Oh, I thought it was the bag of rotisserie chicken. Is what he's
that would be incredible if you eat an entire rotisserie chicken while you're shopping at Walmart. There's people that probably do that.
Would you be shocked if Nate told you he did that?
Big Nate, no.
But yeah, okay.
Current right. Nate, no, it ain't happening.
That's fair. All right. Now I have two passion points that I would like you to choose between.
Okay, good.
I guess I'll do the other one last.
Okay.
So, forever and ever, you only get to wear one of these again, or you never see them again, maybe. So you also, not only do you not get to wear them, you don't get to the pleasure of seeing somebody else wear them. Okay. Jorts or tanks?
See, this is your passion. This isn't my passion. I don't need
jorts. You have no cares for jorts?
No, I don't need jorts. Okay. I'm out on jorts. And
what about seeing other people in jorts? You don't care about seeing other people in jorts? I think it's funny. Like, in public, I'm like, that was funny. I like
it. It is funny, but, like, I'm probably never going to wear jorts again. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to wear jorts again. And
I'm not going to count it out.
That said, so it's basically, would I rather see other people wear jorts or get to wear tank tops?
That's a good point. Okay, so easy tanks for you.
This was the easiest one, but but yes, I go tanks.
I have a question. Does tanks include jerseys? Like the jersey I'm wearing right now, does that count?
So you're saying if you were to give up tanks, could you still wear jerseys?
Yeah.
I think it includes all sleeveless shirts.
Whoa. Okay,
but
I'm choosing tanks.
You can wear vests over the top of something else.
That does change nothing.
Not a vest guy. Yeah. I should be. I'm always, my arms are always hot, but I'm not for some reason.
I'm like reverse. I would need like only sleeved and then no vest. Reverse vest. A Tsev is what I would need.
I feel like if I put on a vest, I would feel the same way as when I have an English muffin and I go, these are fantastic. Why don't I wear these all the time? But I just, for some reason, I don't go out and get vests.
All right. this is my last one.
Okay.
Sweatpants or ankle socks?
Oh, man. Okay. Now you're speaking my language.
I wanted to make it really hard.
Oh, man. That's really hard.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I feel like I really did my homework on this one.
Sweatpants. What is the loophole with sweatpants?
That's the key, is just finding the loophole the whole time. Yeah.
I don't think I can give up ankle socks. I don't want to wear...
I don't think you could either.
I don't want
but
to
what
wear
about bar sweats?
Longer. Wearing sweats to the bar is one of the most liberating things you can do. I recommend all of our listeners wear sweats to the bar. And
once you have a girlfriend you really love and you don't care about how you look anymore, which is, Travis, this happened to you like, what, 5 years ago? Well, you stopped caring about how you looked first.
That's true. That's a good point. The key, though, is you have to find a girlfriend who's willing to go out with you while you're wearing sweats. That's the tough part, and that's where I hit the jackpot. That's why she's a keeper. I don't know if she can hear me or not. But, yes, that's important.
That is important.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to toss sweats. I can't get rid of my ankle socks.
All right.
We already discussed that. I don't look good in the cruise. My legs look weird.
I thought you might do this. So I'm also, with sweatpants, going to be throwing in casual shorts, too. You cannot wear shorts either. You can wear them to work out and other stuff, but you cannot just wear them.
I can't wear shorts.
No.
Like any kinds of shorts?
I don't understand. You can wear like khaki shorts, I guess.
Okay,
but you have to like... be wearing your wallet in them all the time.
That definitely makes me reconsider.
Hell yeah. Okay.
That's all I wanted. My dream job is not having to work and getting to wear sweatpants or shorts.
To work? Which is...
I said not having to work.
That's what I do. Job. I wear right. sweats to work.
Oh, that's sick. But you do work.
That's true. Yeah.
No, I don't like pants. I don't like wearing jeans or khaki anything. I want to wear basketball shorts every day.
Basketball shorts are so comfortable.
That said, so then it becomes, how long do these socks need to be?
Jesus.
Like, do I have to wear crew? Is that the minimum?
Yeah. Yeah. Once they pass your ankle, you're good.
So I can go like top of the ankle? Like,
yeah.
They're like 2 inch above the no-shows? Yeah.
Those look awful. The worst socks ever. But
I go those over crews. I just
look bad. With your legs, I would too, yes.
I guess I gotta give up the no-shows.
Wow. Okay, that's what did it. If you're
shorts and sweats,
right?
That's brutal.
Okay, cool. Well, that's all I wanted to do was make you switch. I was wondering what the point would be, like what was gonna do it.
You did a nice job.
Well, there you have it. If you have any suggestions of what we should pick between, a good one for me. Let's see, hats, or pretty much anything else. Like, if I had to go out in the public bald all the time, I would be pretty upset.
I got a good one for you.
Okay, hats, let's go.
Hats or contact lenses?
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
You have to remain bald for everyone to see forever, or you just can't see. You're just blind.
Can I get LASIK?
I'd
probably pay, like, $2,500 to be able to still wear hats.
I think LASIK is like cheap now, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
it is.
$500 or something. No, but you can either wear contacts or hats and underwear.
Wait. What's the underwear?
So if you choose to have your contacts, you can never wear underwear or hats again.
Or hats?
Right. All right, we're off subject here.
I don't even wear underwear now, so it's fine.
That's weird. Wait,
no, I'm just kidding. I would probably still choose the hats.
Yeah. I have a suggestion.
Let's hear it.
Let's do East Jersey Tees next week, because that's going to take us 40 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Let's do Stumptown and Girl Scout and get out of here. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, I didn't realize we went that long. Yeah, okay. Totally fair. Sorry, everybody that wanted to hear the East Jersey Tees. Well, anyways, get at us with any suggestions of things you want to hear on the choose betweens, the one or the others, whatever you want to call them.
Please do.
And after that, I mean, do you know what time it is, Noel?
What time it is? It's 10:30. Oh.
Yeah, you just realized it. It's time. It's time for that thing you always forget to lead into. It's time for Stumptown.
Stumptown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I apologize to the listeners for doing a really bad job of creating excitement for Stumptown the last 2 weeks. So we're back on track.
It's okay. I don't know if they'll forgive you. Katie coughed in the background. She doesn't care.
Oh, she doesn't give a shit.
All right. Let me get to me notes.
Okay.
So this is going to be an all-star game themed one. I was trying to find some inspiration.
Okay.
So our favorite player, LeBron Ramon James Sr., leads the NBA all-star game all time in field goals attempted, three-pointers made, three-pointers attempted, points, and turnovers.
Wah-wah.
The top six points per game leaders are all current NBA players. LeBron is number three. Do you know who is number one?
The current All-Star Game points leader?
Points per game leader.
Durant.
Close. He's number two. Giannis is number one. Do you know who the other three are? One of them should be current. Kind of obvious, I guess. Yeah, current. They're all current players.
Westbrook.
Yep. Westbrook's number four.
Not after last weekend, but probably prior. Then probably Harden?
Nope.
Kawhi?
Nope. All right. So ahead, number five is PG at 20.7. Interesting. And rounding out six is Anthony Davis at 20.5.
Okay.
These players also shoot decently well against their career averages, but they're all very close. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you what you think is better between these players, all-star versus career field goal percentage, and you have to go 6 for 10 to win.
What I think is better. Oh, so you're going to ask me a player, and I have to tell you if their all-star percentage or their percentage is better.
I'm going to ask you between LeBron, Kobe, Dirk, KD, Russ, Giannis, MJ, Tim Duncan, Wilt, and Bird. And you have to tell me what's better between their all-star or career field goal percentage. It's going to be tough. All right, so we'll start. Let's start in your favorite player, Russ. Which do you think is better, his all-star career field goal percentage or his career?
Is this including this past weekend?
Yes.
Ooh. If it wasn't for that, I would say all-star. But I'm going to say all-star.
Correct.
Nice.
Russ shoots over 50% in career all-star games. 43% career. All right. Come on, baby. Giannis.
Did you try to throw me off here with this one? I'm gonna go regular season field goal percentage.
Wrong.
Dang it.
Giannis shooting 65% in career all-star games.
Oof, okay.
52 in career percentage.
I guess that was a bad guess. I thought I was trying to go the okay. One for
LeBron.
Two. LeBron, I bet you he has a higher regular season.
Incorrect. All-star.
Oh, no.
52.5% all-star career. Kobe.
All-star.
Correct.
Okay.
Oops, that one's
two
wrong.
For two?
Two and two.
I mean, 2 and 2? Okay. Kevin Durant. KD. Well, since KD wasn't... Oh, no, he was number two on that list. I'm going to go all-star again.
Correct. 53.5% all-star and 49% career.
Okay, good. 3 for 5. I'm on pace.
Tim Duncan.
Timmy D? Gosh, it would be hard to pick a center who can't shoot a high percentage in all-stars, but I feel like you've gotten all all-stars. Maybe he shoots a lot of threes in all-star games. I'm going to go regular season.
Wrong.
Ow!
All-star is 55% compared to 50.6 in regular season.
Okay, all right.
Bird.
I'm overthinking it. Bird. Let's go regular season.
Drilled it.
Nice.
Regular season, Bird, almost 50%, and All-Star, only 42%.
Oh, what a sludge. I don't know why I called him that.
That's a weird thing to say. All right, Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt had to have shot better. Like, that dude was ridiculous stats. I'm going to go regular season.
Wrong. All-star.
So
59% all-star.
I think I'm 4 and 4, so I got to get the last two right?
You got to get the last two.
Okay.
Dirk.
I bet Dirk hucks in all-star games, so I'm going to go regular season.
Drilled it.
Okay, giving down to the last one.
47% in career, and then 45% all-star. All right, last one. Best for last. Michael Jordan, his airness. All-star or career?
Ooh, that's tough. That's a toughie. I am going to say Michael Jordan shoots a better percentage in the All-Star game than the regular season.
Wrong!
I've been stumped.
Yes. Michael Jordan is a career 49.7% career shooter and compared to just 47% in the All-Star game.
Close.
Noel, 5-5, still very respectable, but
thank you.
For this round, I'm glad I set the over-under correctly. I was going to make it 5, and I think it needed to be 6.
For a game where I'm 100% throwing shots in the dark, I went 50-50, so literally a baby could have done that.
Exactly.
Or a monkey, or
so, you. So 7 of the 10 were a career better All-Star game then. So okay, if you had said All-Star every single
like
time.
More of those. Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. But very good nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, good job by those guys.
Good job by those guys.
For shooting such good percentages.
And... so that is one more loss. Your first loss, right?
Probably my first loss. Depends on you know, we gotta get some judges.
Yeah, I mean, there's some whatever. I'm feeling real confident. Next week is gonna be my week.
Okay, we're away from football. Good. Yeah, you just don't know football.
You just need to give me more numbers based ones. I can memorize numbers. I still remember the combination to the engineering room at Carroll.
I don't remember it. 5-2, is that it?
5-2-3-3-6-3.
6-3, that's right. Okay, nice. Carroll College Engineering Building.
If you need to get into the Carroll College Engineering Building, that's it. All right, and now it is time for Girl Scout Cookie Survivor to end it. Last week, as you know, of course, we eliminated, in somewhat of an upset, I guess?
Yeah.
Do-si-dos.
I didn't get any feedback if anyone was upset. I don't know if anybody got through our entire hour and a half podcast and to listen to that
one.
Part. It was a long one. But no, I didn't hear any outrage over the do-si-dos leaving the island, did you?
No, neither did I. And I brought it up to my mom, actually, and she completely agreed, which is unsurprising, I think. My mom's going to agree with me no matter what. Love you, Mommy.
So is there a case to be made that trefoils are any good and deserve to even be considered to stay on the island? Is there a case to be made?
Yes, and I think there's only one case to be made.
What is it?
That the lemon ones are not as good.
Really? Oh, so you think they... See, you're a sugar cooker guy. Sugar cooker. You're a sugar cooker.
I'm a sugar cooker guy.
I do like lemony things, and I don't think I'm going to allow you to overrule me on this one because I really didn't want to send the do-si-dos home so early in regards to
you
this.
You wanted to send trefoils home last
trefoils
week.
Trefoils are trash. They're sort of iconic because they're like the Girl Scout, they're the Girl Scout logos on the cookies.
Right.
And I don't know if like they're even necessary. Like, would people be outraged if trefoils disappeared next year? They weren't on the ballot.
I don't think about them.
But they're kind of, you're used to seeing them. You want to be able to see them. It's like, oh,
that's true. That's true.
So, I think I really would like to push for a strong rid of trefoils.
Okay. I have some numbers on the cookies.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear the numbers.
So I have the top 5 selling Girl Scout cookies based on Business Insider's numbers.
I like this. This is
trefoils are number 5, 9% of the Girl Scout cookie sales. 18 million boxes sold last year. Do-si-dos, which we eliminated not last week, were number 4. 11% of their sales, 22 million boxes.
Mm.
Tagalongs, and third, 13%, 26 million boxes. Then a big leap. Samoas, 19% of Girl Scout cookie sales, 38 million boxes.
Mm.
Thin Mints, 25% of all sales, over 50 million boxes. That is a lot.
I had some Thin Mints today, and they are good. That is a lot of cookies and a lot of dollars.
Don't crack the top 5.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm not one to conform to corporate America like you. I like to have my own original thoughts. And my own original thought tells me that trefoils blow and lemon stuff is underrated.
You know what? On this one, because you were so willing to for Do-Si-Dos. I am willing to concede because I do like the lemon ones. I am willing to vote Trefoils off the island.
We're not doing a very good job of previewing the following week because now everybody just knows what's going off the next week.
Congratulations, once it gets to the lemon, final three, lemon boys. You made it one more week.
Once it gets to the final three, there'll be some debate. So I have a thought before I do the final ceremony.
Right.
Actually, I'm just going to do it, and you have to catch the change I made. Okay. Trefoils, bring me your torch. Trefoils, the troop has spoken.
Ooh, very nice. That's good. Very nice addition. Mm-hmm. The troop instead of the tribe.
Exactly. Bingo. So, thanks for playing, Trefoils, you fucking loser.
All right. Well, that has been another week of Girl Scout Cookie Survivor and another week of The Rookie Show Pod. Please be sure to follow us, get at us on Twitter and Instagram.
Get at us.
You can follow us at Rookie Show Pod on Twitter. You can follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at Da Cream Fillin on Twitter. And you can follow me at C Travis Knoll on Instagram. The C, of course, stands for Chicago, believe it or not. It stands for
Chicago. Travis Knoll. Interesting.
Yeah, that's where I live. And that was on purpose. So, yeah.
Well, cool. Who's playing us out?
Of course, none other than Fallout Boy play us out.
Oh, yes. I love it. All right. Peace, everybody. A loaded gun, jaw black, cock it and pull it. We're going down, down, in and around. And sugar, we're going down, swinging. I'll be your number one with the bullet. A loaded gun, jaw black, cock it and pull it. We're going.